It's been 60 years since the U.S. government sent more than 100,000 people of Japanese descent to live in World War II internment camps. Those who grew up in the camps are senior citizens now, and for many years they kept their stories to themselves. But their numbers are dwindling, and they are finally recording details of what their lives were like behind barbed wire. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports that several hundred gathered recently in a hotel at Los Angeles for a reunion of survivors from all 10 camps.
Most of them were known as Nisei, the first generation born in the United States. During World War II, the U.S. government considered them national security risks. At the LA gathering, Japanese Americans shared vivid stories of childhood spent incarcerated. Sue Embry lived with her family in cramped barracks at the dusty camp in Manzanar near California's Death Valley.
They had 8 guard towers, and each one of them had a MP in it with a loaded machine gun. And at night, they had searchlights that followed you wherever you went.
Actor George Takei is best known for his role as Lieutenant Sulu on TV's Star Trek. As a boy, he lived at camps in Arkansas and Northern California. At the conference, he spoke about how his parents and others struggled to maintain their dignity and salvage some joy in the harsh environment. They created gardens, celebrated Japanese holidays, and listened to the big band music of Glenn Miller on the radio. He and the other children went to school set up by the adults.
And a Nisei teacher taught us how to recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I was too young to appreciate the irony of the sight of the barbed wire fence I could see from outside the window.
Over the past decade, some former internees have paid homage to their wartime youth by visiting the campsites or holding reunions. At the LA Summit, hosted by the Japanese American National Museum, they learned how to record their oral histories on videotape and how to lobby to get camps declared historic national parks. Sue Embry, who organized Survivors of Manzanar, says there's an urgency now to these efforts.
We're beginning to get a lot of oral histories, but it's kind of late. You know, we didn't get our parents' reactions, and now our generation is dying out, and I don't think there'll be many survivors left to tell their stories unless we get them now.
Embry says that for years after the war, many Japanese Americans were so ashamed they wouldn't talk about their experiences. But at the summit, some spoke up for the first time. 68-year-old Harry Kawahara told about feeling angry, confused, and betrayed at the Topaz camp in Utah.
And these soldiers were walking around telling us where to go with bayonets and rifles. And as a little boy, thinking to myself, why are they doing this to me? I didn't do anything wrong. I violated no laws. To think about they're doing this because I'm Japanese.
To help Kawahara and others make sense of their emotions, psychologist Tsutsuki Ina, who was born at the Tule Lake camp, led several groups in a sort of encounter session. She explained the long years of silence.
Besides the cultural value of gaman, you know, to hold it in and to endure it, it ran parallel with a psychological coping mechanism to deal with trauma, which is to repress.
In 1981, a group of former camp inmates broke the silence and told their experiences to a congressional panel. That led to a formal apology from the United States and $20,000 in reparations to each of the surviving internees. Dr. Ina says their testimony helped pave the way for others to share their experiences.
It's like the pus is coming out of the wound. Once we started talking about the internment as a trauma, we weren't tippy-toeing around by using words like relocation centers, and they called them pioneer communities when they first started out. We began talking about the true nature of being incarcerated and being prisoners.
Besides seeking to preserve the history of the World War II camps, many who attended the summit spoke of the lessons yet to be learned.
A lot of things that I see going on today are not very different from what happened to us in 1942.
John Tateishi heads the National Japanese American Citizens League, which made a point of speaking out in support of Arab Americans after September 11th. He's concerned that in the fervor to secure the country, the U.S. government is once again detaining immigrants and questioning the loyalty of certain Americans.
Immediately after Pearl Harbor, the FBI swept through our communities, arrested all of our leaders and elders, and held them in indefinite detention, not releasing any information. Sounds familiar.
Tateishi says it's now a responsibility for Japanese Americans who lived at the internment camps to speak out against dissolving civil liberties in the name of national security. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News, Los Angeles.